Welcome to His Ability, a show that speaks out to the handicapped community. Your host is the owner of Ayudale Home Care Plus. And now, here's your host, Lynn Suzak.
Hi, thanks for joining us today on His Ability. Welcome to our program and happy Sunday to you. We really decided today to go through our recently published book and actually read from it. I've got my husband here, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hello, everybody.
Mark, you have such a nice voice. I thought I'd have you read from the book. How's that?
Awesome.
We're going to go right into one of our most interesting chapters. Depicts what some Christians can become and what we need to recognize in ourselves. It's called Ugly Christians.
You may have heard that Mahatma Gandhi said, "I would have been a Christian had it not been for your Christians." And I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Often we hear they're all phonies, or I don't go to church, they're all hypocrites. These might be the thoughts of somebody who's been around some very unattractive bunch of Christians. You know, I have thought that way before.
Before you were Christian?
Yeah, before I was a Christian, yeah. There are plenty of these in every church. Their disapproval is easily detected, and like body odor, it repels people quickly. How do I know? I was in a church that became ugly. As a result, I have become very sensitive to the stench of legalism that permeates the atmosphere in, dare I say, every single church denomination today to one degree or another. Wow. That's a pretty heavy statement.
That's what I believe.
Condescending remarks, disapproving glances, slander, gossip, and arrogance are some of the unappetizing aromas that surround so many Christians as they attempt to witness to the lost souls in the world. No wonder it's so hard to witness to people.
Because their mouth is saying one thing, but their attitude can be saying something that's louder than the words.
And people are picking up on that.
Like, get me out of here.
Sugary smiles cannot hide the bitter taste in the spoonfuls of "you're not good enough" castor oil that we are offering to our fellow workers, classmates, or golfing buddies. "I once was lost too, but now I'm better than you" is the song that other people hear from so many actions, looks, and words of ugly Christians.
Isn't it so?
You know, I have had people come and witness to me before I became a Christian, and some of them gave me a very judgmental, heavy, turn or burn kind of message, and it wasn't pleasant. I didn't want anything to do with them.
It didn't attract you to the gospel.
No.
And it's the love of Christ that attracts us. We know we're sinners.
Yeah.
We don't need somebody else that's really no better than we are telling us.
Right. Our conscience tells us that we're not good enough. Mm-hmm. Legalism is a term that describes a type of mentality that religious people have. Legalism is what happens when Christians abandon the freedom that Christ died to give us, exchanging freedom for bondage. As Christians, we are no longer under the law established through Moses. Well, that's a pretty deep claim you're making there.
Yeah, well.
Then we're no longer under the law. You have a scripture. You have a scripture to prove it. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Wow. He fulfilled the law, and he abolished its commandments and regulations according to... This is Ephesians 2, 15 and 16. That's a pretty heavy verse. Colossians 2, 14. Having canceled the written code with its regulations... What are we talking about there? Ten Commandments. The written code.
All the law.
Yeah, all of the Pharisaical laws. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2, verse 14.
He nailed the rules and regulations that we were under back then to the cross, and we don't need them.
Wow. That,
it's mind-boggling.
That's good news, is the next, the beginning of the next paragraph.
That's the good news.
The good news. Yet so many Christians create unnecessary rules for themselves, and that religious spirit does some real damage to them and to others. Religion, in its truest sense of the word, breeds contempt for others. Jesus came to show us how to live life directed by the Holy Spirit, not by religious rules.
We're reading from First Wash the Inside, our book that we've published recently. And you can view that and order it yourself by going to hisability.com. And you can even call our home care agency in Garden City by listening at the end of this program. And we would have one there for you to pick up if you'd like.
Okay, continuing in chapter 2. Many Christians know that legalism is wrong, but they live it, breathe it, and impose it on others daily.
Amen.
Perhaps you have been hurt by one of these ugly Christians. Perhaps you are one of these ugly Christians yourself. The purpose of this book is to identify the depth of legalism and to expose the evils of it in order to break the church free from its clutches. God has placed a mission in my heart to open the eyes of his people to the full depths and dangers of religiosity, legalism, and spiritual arrogance. God wants to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. That's a verse from Luke 4. We are all quick to acknowledge that the Pharisees were whitewashed tombs. They certainly were. That's what Jesus called them, whitewashed tombs. And we know that they laid heavy burdens on men that they themselves were unwilling to bear. But do we recognize that we do the same thing to others? You know, when I first got born again, I did this. I was telling my friends, you know, you got to clean up your act. You got to quit smoking. You got to quit swearing. You got to quit, you know. And I wasn't all fixed up yet. I wasn't perfect and holy and righteous in any of my own actions. It's only by Jesus.
Did you really say those things to people, or do you think you just kind of couldn't help but act that way?
You know, I felt so clean and shiny because of what Jesus did that I was trying to tell everyone else, you need to do the same thing, but it doesn't come out right. It comes out like, you know, you need to stop doing all these things so you can be holy. And it's really the other way around. You become holy, and therefore you stop doing all those things.
Right. It's somehow a kind of a rookie mistake of new Christians. We don't know how to offer this grace to others that we received without attaching burdens of rules and like an attitude that, you know, you really got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing that, and forgetting that that is just a byproduct of God's grace.
Right. God looks upon the heart anyway. And so, you know, what we're saying is that if you allow Jesus to change your heart, you'll stop doing those things without even trying.
The problem is we tend to say, you know, it's a free gift to salvation, but then that leads the person to believe that they, well, I don't want to, you know, I'm not ready to stop doing this and I'm not ready to stop doing that. And we really can't find it in ourselves to say, well, you won't have to stop. You just need to be saved. Because we know that sin is not a good thing.
Right.
So we really have a perplexing situation.
We definitely get hung up on the actions. There's no doubt about that.
So,
and we don't even look at our hearts.
Yeah, understanding grace is one of the most complicated things in the Christian life.
Well, let me continue. We've got a little bit of time left here. Do we realize what we are doing to ourselves? The spiritual virus that infected the Pharisees is a live germ that is active today and poisoning our churches. Very few people really understand the true meaning of sin, repentance, and God's grace. Satan has tricked us into focusing on controlling the things we do instead of repenting for the reasons we do them. Wow, man, that is deep.
That's true.
That is so deep. How can we be free from sin unless we understand what sin is? Jesus instructed us to take the log out of our own eye so that we could see clearly enough to point out the speck in our brother's eye. What log, we exclaim self-righteously. Boy, isn't that the truth? As we become mature, we start to, you know, our actions are starting to get improved because our hearts are changing. And then we're holding other people who are not as mature as ourselves to that same standard. And therefore, we're telling them, you know, you need to quit doing this and you need to quit doing that. And that's not right. They're learning. They're maturing.
We get comfortable with the amount of goodness that we're showing, and we stop looking at our heart for the next thing. And we think that we're clean and shiny already, and other people need to get to where we are.
Yep. We can have freedom from addictions, selfishness, pride, and rebellion. To be free from the power of sin is to be free to enjoy everything in life. Freedom from sin cuts off the access that Satan has to our lives and opens the floodgates to God's blessings. Wow. Just this little bit has so much in it that you could stop and you could stop after almost every sentence and just contemplate and meditate on, you know, you got some revelation here on these verses that I haven't heard too many other people, with the exception of a couple ministries, teach on this.
That's what makes it so interesting, so penetrating, that you haven't heard people talk like this much, you know, in our generation. I don't know if they did in Paul's day, you know, but this is...
Jesus came to reveal to us how to actually live in the abundance that God has always meant for us to have since the beginning. We will break strongholds and become powerful warriors for God's kingdom when we allow Him to change our hearts, not just our actions. Although we are citizens of heaven when we become born again, Satan has access to our lives when we are in sin, so we will never fully experience God's blessings until we learn how to cut off the inroads from hell with the blockade of repentance. We begin by identifying our real sins, and then we have to ask God to begin to wash us from the inside.
Big difference from believing that we're keeping our salvation by repenting. This explanation of repentance is different than what I believed before. We are saved by grace, and then we begin repenting, not to keep our salvation. As long as we're trusting in Jesus' sacrifice for our sins, we are saved.
Right. Your repentance is to prevent Satan from accessing your life.
And that's different than the mentality of...
That you're repairing a relationship with God.
That you're being continued to be saved by your works.
Right.
We're out of time. That was First Watch the Inside, our book. You can find that on hisability.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to His Ability. You can email Lynn at life@hisability.com. That's life@hisability.com. Or visit hisability.com. If you're in the need of home health care, please call a Utilee at 734-261-1220. That's 734-261-1220. Thanks for tuning in, and you can hear His Ability every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on WMUZ 103.5, The Light.